Hello. Welcome to show 1199, the week of November 29th. Yes, I thought Pete was going to be here as well. We all did. He had a very bad migraine last minute, so he is not here, but he will be back, and he has given me some notes to give to you. So just know I wanted Pete to be here too, because I get excited when he's here. I am joined at the table by some wonderful people. I have Erica Resnick here.
Hi, friends.
I've got Mary Jo Willey, who is not here often.
No, this is one of my first times, I think. Hi, everybody.
Wait, what?
Well, I was on the marathon show, but this is the first time I've been on a regular show.
Oh.
So.
And the wonderful Rhino in the production nook.
Hi. Hey, what's happening? I can't do your New Jersey accent. What's happening? What's a pizza? I don't know.
It's Rhino in the production
nook. What's a pizza?
Where's the plumbers? They got to save the universe from Koopa. I learned all I did with that accent from the Super Mario Brothers movie, 1993.
We have some pretty good news. Some of it is brand new to me, so I hope I sound smart when I read it to you or at least tell you about it. But before that, let me mention that we are brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. If you're thinking about a vacation to Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, you want a great travel advocate on your side, that is dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. They'll even book stuff that's not Disney. It could be Universal, could be Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. So dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Also, after this show, we do a Patreon after show. It's patreon.com/DizUnplugged. Any of the tiers, I think, am I right, Rhino, can come to that?
That is open to all Patreon supporters on there. If you're not familiar with Patreon, it's essentially like a crowdfunding website, or a subscription service or whatnot. But any tier, any donation level gets access to our after show. And then there's different perks for different peers. Different perks for different tiers going from there. So like $5, usually like audio only exclusive stuff from like Craig or myself. And then $10, we get into the videos, and $25 is like early access, and it goes up. So yeah.
It's a lot of fun. There's things that we say on the after show that bad words that we would not say here. We purposely just say bad words because we can. The first thing I wanted to cover, and this is something that really I was waiting for Pete to talk about. There was a Wall Street Journal article that a lot of us don't actually have access to. I got to read it once, and then it went away, and it came back. But the Wall Street Journal article putting it together was that the parks are showing a rapid decline in profits. And usually they do in the third and fourth quarter, but they were more so this year than usual. And it's got investors worried that there's a softening economy and that it's, you know, maybe we've hit the limit. Maybe people are actually responding negatively to some of the changes. Maybe people who feel that they've spent too much and didn't get the magical experience that they were hoping for are starting not to return. We don't know. But Pete thinks, and that's what he wrote me, it makes sense. It leaves the door open to Iger making some major changes possibly. I got some more thoughts on that, but let's go to Erica, who's nodding at me. What do you think?
I agree. I do think that opens the door for Iger to do some bigger things, you know, because now everyone's going to be looking at him to be like, so what are you going to do about this? How are you going to help the situation? And I think this does just open the door wide open for him to do some big things.
Now, they had a town hall with Bob Iger. I know that Jackie posted an article about it, and it's brief because the town hall was brief. And it really lacked any substance to me at all. I'm glad Iger's there. I'm happier about it. But he didn't say much. Like when they asked him about, like he didn't know he was going to be asked about park passes. When they asked him about park passes,
yeah.
I have to talk to Josh tomorrow. You didn't? You've already been firing people. You didn't talk to Josh yet? What do you think?
But his implication was that he's never had to use the system. And obviously so, because when you're the CEO, you just go wherever you want, whenever you want. On any Disney property. So it's something that's really interesting that shines a light on that sort of disconnect between somebody who's like at that level, because they never have to go through with that. Also, I imagine he would, if they ever have him use that system, it's still going to be, he'll get to make 365 park passes because at once he could have a different park reserved and anywhere. So, like, he won't be using the same system as us. So
I just feel like he should have already been slightly more informed than he was. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, that's a good way to say, hey, we're still thinking about it. I don't think it's going anywhere. I'd be shocked if they get rid of the park reservation system. I think it gives them control. But
I'm
hoping
it goes away. Honestly, I hope that's one of the things that goes away soon.
I don't care if it goes away. I care. I think it's foolish that it's so minimal amount of days. I think you should be able to make like up to 7 days, whatever the max ticket that you could buy as a hopper or as an extended stay, because it's absurd that the reality is that all of us, a lot of us who are annual pass holders, have family and friends who come down. And then on top of that, sometimes some of those visits are overlapping and things. And so it really limits you not being able to, especially at this time of the year when you've paid for a pass that has no blockout dates, to be able to actually go to a park before they're all filled up. But so, like, I think they need to open that up, and they need to, I swear to God, they need to really start doing what Disneyland does with their pass, which is if you have a pass for the day and it is after the park hopping time activates, which for us at Walt Disney World is 2 p.m. right now, it's 1 p.m. at Disneyland. But at Disneyland, if I have a pass for California Adventure and it's after 1 p.m., I can just go into Disneyland. I don't have to go to into California Adventure, then turn around and walk to Disneyland. And the absurdity about it there is that they're 5 feet away from each other. Mm-hmm. So here, the fact that we don't have that, when we have to drive, get in a vehicle, get out of that vehicle, then walk all the way to the main entrance, go in and out. And I think my biggest problem about it is that complaint just keeps falling on deaf ears of people that just don't comprehend the difficulty of that, where I'll be like, but park hopping is available, right? So why can't I just switch my reservation? I'm going to be able to come into this park the second I tap at Animal Kingdom, which closes in 5 minutes. Do you think I'm going to be able to make it from Hollywood Studios to Animal Kingdom and tap and then come back? They won't even let me tap. Like, so that's the part where there's like, I just think, what's it called? Like problem solving and creative thinking solutions. I forget the term.
Like logistics?
No, it's just that I think there's a lot.
There's I know what you're saying.
It's not just brainstorming.
No, it's just creative thinking skills, I think, are kind of a little, they've created a system where people aren't given that ability. So nobody's thinking that way and being like, nobody has like creative problem solving skills. I'm not blaming the frontline cast members at all, but there is a fly in this room.
There is.
He's driving me fly.
Crazy.
It's like a horse fly. It's
there
big.
Goes that.
Anyway.
So what I think is that they're sending us mixed messages, for one thing. With the reservations, I don't think they're going to go away. But with the lack of revenue that they're having in the parks, it's greatly impacted. At Disneyland, they opened up the ability to purchase the passes again. Because right now, you cannot get a new pass. You can renew, but you can't get a new pass. Then they opened it up for like 2 days. So people were on the phone for 9 hours waiting to buy their passes. It was ridiculous. It was crazy. And then they closed up again. So I think they know what they're doing. I don't think they're ready to. No, I think they think they know what they're doing. I think that they don't trust the public enough to share that with us. And I also think that they're not getting they're not listening to the perspectives of the people who actually use these passes.
I mean, Craig Williams has texted me. He says he believes I was thinking about critical thinking.
Critical
thinking.
Oh,
and I believe that is what I was going for. Yeah. Go. So
look at Craig blessing us.
I was about to text my friend Kim and be like, what's that thing we always talk about that no one has anymore?
Critical thinking skills. Well, I was in the park, and I have some good thoughts about that we'll get to later on. But this week, a lot, I was in the park. But I saw people on their phones so much, and they were walking like zombies hitting into each other. Like by It's a Small World and Peter Pan's Flight, they were just, everybody's on their phone. I thought, it's just a horrible way to be, and I wish some things would change. Maybe getting us away from these phones a little bit and back to some magic.
Because I honestly think there is an element, like I know there's some people who aren't bothered by it or whatever, but so for me, there's a couple of people in my life, and I'm not going to call them out on here, obviously. I mean, they're not watching. But I have a couple of people in my life who can't do more than one thing at once. So like once they have looked at their phone, the entire universe and world could explode, and they will not register it till they look up. And it drives me insane because they'll do it in the middle of my sentence and then be like, what? Or something. And I have a little bit of patience for it, but it's one of those things where I start to just be like, okay, can you like set the phone down for 2 seconds so I can finish my thought? We can do this and then you can get to it. And like, and I get where some people need it because like businesses are run through emails and all that sort of things and stuff like that. But there's like that element of that it keeps people on that phone. And for those people that I have in my life like that, it's like, it's awful. I don't like going to the park with them because the second they look at their phone, they're gone. And I'm like, we're still talking and walking. But it's also like you said, there's also an element of stress associated with this that I, no matter who has this, this thing, it's everything, right? It's your finances. It's everything that you need, you know, and there are pros and cons of that. But there is an element of stress that you cannot get rid of anymore because you have to keep this little annoying device with you. So even those people who want to disconnect, you can't disconnect. Even,
I have a question for you guys here in Florida.
Is it, do I have a therapist, Mary Jo? Because the answer is no. And clearly I need one.
We need some kind of help. But I know that in California on hot days when I'm using my phone for mobile ordering or anything, it overheats and then I can't use it at all. Hmm. And here it's a lot hotter. How do you guys even deal with that?
Mine doesn't
overheat.
It happened to me
a lot this summer, like several times in the middle of ordering, in the middle of taking pictures or video. I was actually one time live streaming from our Instagram, the Festival of Fantasy Parade, and my phone just turned off. It said it was overheating and it just stopped. So it does happen.
Yeah, mine, the battery goes through it a lot faster because when it's hotter. I've noticed there's a thing because there's something in the screen where it keeps, like if it gets too hot, the screen will start to go black.
Yeah.
And like, then you're like, I can't see. Like, I'm also, I know I said I wasn't going to name names, but I'm going to say who it is because I feel like I have another friend who watches the show that I'm worried they think I was talking about them and I wasn't. So I was talking about my friend Jill, and I'll tell her right to her face about it. So, but she doesn't watch
it. Okay, the thing that burns me up, and I know this isn't a grievance issue thing, but I'm going through my grievance.
We're raging right now.
On the Haunted Mansion, which is my favorite, and you get to the seance room, and four of the people in the circle now have that bright light from their phone on. I want to murder
people. Okay. I 100% agree with you because it also, you know, when that happens, like fireworks, and they'll have the phone on, and I want to be like, but it's one of those where I was like, you know, the light on your phone, it doesn't work like that. It only works. The light can only travel so far from the phone. So it literally, also, you're not actually taking a picture of what you're seeing when you do that. So like, I'm a firm believer that you should like never use flash unless you're essentially taking like portraits or something like that. But it's one of those things where like, also the person behind you now has, or in front of you has a light shining on them. And it's so distracting. And it's just one of those, it's such a simple courtesy to be like, hey, could you turn off that light?
Yeah.
And well, you can't on the
in the seance room. I've yelled at people. I've yelled, shut the light. Send us a message from somewhere. Shut the light.
Yeah. And probably somebody else is saying thank you very much, right? Because it's not just you being.
Well,
because
I'm the guy in the movie theater who does it.
Yeah. Oh.
And I'll just keep making noises, and I'm like, I'm ruining the movie for myself, even though these people won't shut up. Like, but I just feel so. I have this like thing in my deep down in my soul that I hate being rude. I hate being rude, and I hate standing up for myself. It's awful.
Mm-hmm. This is so off topic.
I look them straight in the eyes. Straight in the eyes. Pirates of the Caribbean, someone had their flash on. I just turned around, looked them straight in the eyes. And then they looked at me, and then they put their phone away. I was like, thank you.
All right. This is really off topic, but back, I have this thought that you know, I'm this nice, kind person, and I am. But I got escorted out of AMC by police officers on the opening night of Moana.
You were just were you just raging because of the
Kokomora? There was a lady in front of me and she had her phone on video videoing the movie.
I hate when people do that.
Okay, so I said, "Excuse me, ma'am, can you
That's
just
illegal.
Just my husband is home sick. I want him to see the movie." And I'm like,
"Are you kidding me?"
And they escorted you out instead of her?
Yep, cuz I said to her, "If that phone stays up anymore, I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to throw it out of your hand." So she went up, told the people at AMC who came and said, "Did you threaten her?" I said, "No, I threatened to throw her phone." They couldn't do anything about it. They escorted me out. My family saw the movie. I did not see the movie.
Did she get in any trouble?
They said there's nothing they can do about it.
That is literally an FBI federal offense.
I know.
It's like when people send like Snapchats or they have it in their Instagram stories. I saw it with like Wakanda Forever. They'll have this random part and I'll be like, could you not do that? For one, that is illegal. You are recording stuff that doesn't belong to you. Yeah, but it's also like nobody wants to watch that. Nobody wants to see that. Take a Snapchat or a story of the poster of the thing. Anyway, that's not what we're talking
about. Instant karma got her, though, because as she got up off of her seat, she face planted and fell, and all her popcorn went all over. And I was like, yes.
Perfect.
Instant karma. I'm sorry. Back to the Wall Street Journal article. If it's true that there's cracks in the parks' profits, I don't know that getting rid of the park pass reservation system is going to be a profit thing for them. What changes could they do? Is it going to be discounts? Is it going to, what do you think they would do to entice people to come back to them, to do the parks more?
I don't know. I think you just read my mind, because I kept thinking, what would they entice people with to come back and spend money? Like, it would have to be discounts, but like good discounts. You know what I mean? Not like, 10% off here. Like, have actual good room discounts, and, you know, start implementing more discounts on food, because people love Disney food. And if it was easier to get discounts on some quick service meals, I think that would bring a lot of people back in. I don't know. They would have to really do something.
Oh, I can tell you. It's the Dining Plan and the Magic Express. I think that's what you guys call it. I've never used it, but
that's what they say, yeah.
I think it's the magical it's things that people got that they didn't have to pay extra for, or us.
Yeah.
That they took away, or they make us pay for it. And that's just such a sense of injustice for the mighty dollar.
It's adding on to what you're saying, 100% in agreement. I think it's the sentiment of what you're saying that I think is 1,000% correct. It's that people want to feel like they're getting what they're paying for again. And I feel like that we, with the elimination of those things that used to be included, I mean, the thing where like you have to pay for parking, like just roll it into the fee. You don't, it's like when you put something on eBay, you list free shipping, but you list the thing for $30 more. What I mean? I mean, I am one of those people who list shipping because I got too tired of it. But it's one of those things where like mentally it just feels like you're getting more. And I think that's the problem, is they squeezed too hard, too quickly. So people were like, all these frustrations and this ever-changing like digital environment that we're living in with all this stuff. I think it's happening so fast that people are struggling to keep up, which adds that element of stress that we talked about with park passes, with Genie Plus, with then having to figure out how do you get your family of five into an Uber, you know, so that Uber is going to cost you over $100 because you need the Uber XL, you know.
Okay, we know that there's a softening of the economy coming. Like, that's been told, yeah. Right for the last 6 months, we were told a recession's coming, possibly a softening of the economy. Why are prices being raised so much if that's the case?
It's greedy. It's the culture. Because of what happened during the pandemic, where Amazon and all these digital companies made more money than they'd ever made before, and they realized that they could put higher pressure. I there's a whole graph I saw where it's like the difference between what the average person who works at a company makes versus the CEO from like the 1950s to now. It was this like steady, like they were all moving together, and then all of a sudden, I think it was like the 80s or the 90s where it was like,
yeah, yeah.
And so like now the pandemic was like a 90 degree turn up. And so the fact that everything is still working right now, it makes it feel like, oh, we should have done this forever ago, and now we're getting all this money. Because the problem is, companies can only make more money. They can't make less money, because then that's when people drop out stuff. But right. It's an unsustainable system.
Unsustainable system.
Yeah.
The making of the shareholders happy is just a horrible, unsustainable system.
It's just greed. It's greed. It's corporate greed that has run amok. And unfortunately, unfortunately, that is out of people like ours hands, and that's why we vote.
Not really. Yeah, I mean, but we vote also with our dollars.
100%.
If we stop, let's correct Disney. I say that, and I still go. So I'm part of the problem.
No, you can criticize the things you love. I think that's important. Mm-hmm. It's people that do like weird CEO worshiping and stuff like that that can't see. You want what's best for the thing you love, right?
Right.
I think that's okay.
You have to be realistic about it. Let's move on to Disney Cruise Line, silver anniversary stuff, just from the thing here. New looks for Captain Mickey and Minnie. Strike a pose, they say, with this iconic duo in their dazzling new ensembles.
Did you say the psychotic duo?
Is it? Did I say that? No, stop. Did I?
Psychedelic?
New looks for Captain Mickey and Captain Minnie, DCL silver anniversary? I don't remember. Iconic.
Iconic. It's like,
they could be psychotic.
Yeah. I mean,
not Mickey.
Brand new signature song. All right. And culinary creations. The thing I like the most is that there's now a new level. So I just became platinum with Disney Cruise Line, which is if you do 10 cruises or more, I was like at the top and they smacked me down. Yeah. They whack-a-moled me right down. I said, nope, there's pearl level, which is 25 cruises or more.
I think Pete did that this year.
Pete is definitely pearl.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to call him now. Hey, Pearl.
Hey, Pearl.
Hey, Pearl.
Hey, girl.
No. I think there is an element of like, you know, that, I mean, the joke is too, Pete has done more ABDs than anybody else, I feel like, but there is a seriousness to that too, because it's the product that he loves and loves to experience. And so like, if they are going to have a system, I do think it's one of those things. Also, how many years, what's the silver anniversary? 20 years?
25
years.
Which makes sense. 25 cruises, 25 years.
But that's also one of those things where the longer the product exists, the more people are going to visit, so the more the reward system should be kicking in for people who have been there since the beginning.
Which is why they didn't say diamond, because that's in the planning, I think.
Mm-hmm. 50th, I think that is. But 50th. We're platinum, so...
Platinum, it was so good until just now.
Oh my gosh, I got such a cool...
Goodbye, free backpack.
I know.
Oh, you'll still get the backpack. I wonder what they're going to give the Pearl people.
No, I think what they're going to do is they're going to give Pearl what Platinums get now. They're going to give us something not as good as what we're getting.
No, they
got... I got the coolest cup with us. That's a speaker, Bluetooth speaker.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, I really... it still said cast inaugural. So, happy.
You've done a Disney cruise.
Just a dream.
Okay. So you're getting there. You got 24.
I got a few more to go.
24 more to go for Pearl.
She's a Castaway Club member now.
Yes.
She is. Speaking of Castaway Key, the sign that says Bob Chapek.
Oh, I know, right?
It's gone.
They were quick, man.
Yeah. Bob Chapek, Master Shipbuilder, is no longer there. But somebody was like, why not just replace the P with a T? Wouldn't it have taken less effort? And I was like, that's funny. But also it does feel weird, not to be rude, but it's one of those things. I thought it was there as in like, because Iger had a sign there too, but when he wasn't CEO. So that's why I was like, I thought it was like commemorating the CEOs, and the fact that they were like, yeah, no. That makes me like, he still was the CEO for a little bit. You love him or hate him, you know?
It lets you know how they really feel.
Yeah.
I think it lets you know how the cast members feel that work there, not just
I don't. I wonder if it came from high up or a cast member said, yeah, I'm on.
I don't think a cast member would just take it off.
Oh, I do. Oh, I could see the day that he came down, people went right out there and just shimmied that thing right off, said, who's going to yell at us at this point? I don't know. What else we got here?
I just thought it was funny how quick they did it. Like, it was like overnight.
It was fast. Star Cruiser. So we're always told now that people, you know, people who don't like the Star Cruiser are saying, it's dead. It's 80% availability. Nobody's booking the Star Cruiser. And I do think there's some truth to that. It's softening the bookings. It's always available. My theory is that the people who are really into it went. And now you've got people that are just, you know, what is it, mediocre fans, they're not spending $5,000 for two nights. So they are left in a conundrum. What do they do now with it? So this is the first time we saw discounts, which are not really discount.
It feels like a price increase, honestly.
Yeah. Paul Krieger from DVC fan sent me something that was interesting because it's 30% off for DVC members. And he said, it's not really a discount for DVC members since the point charts are so inflated. And he gave me an example. He says, if you book it directly through Disney, approximately $5,000 using points or cash when the discount is compared to point rental values would be $7,306. So even with the discount, it's still technically higher priced than booking cash. So yeah, it's a discount, but not really. Do you think real discounts are coming? I do.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the same way that the regular hotels get all Disney stuff gets discounts sometimes, you know, that's like, I know it's a thing where we think, well, it's not real, but like, you know, they do the summertime offers for the hotels, stuff like that, things like that. And I think eventually it's got to be one of those things. I think they have to make it accessible for the average Star Wars fan who's not as financially inclined. And also, like, I don't think everybody wants to do it with like five people in a room. I think some people are hoping, because if you do it with like five people in a room, it comes out, I think, somewhere between, I mean, I actually just ran into a friend at Disney Springs I used to work with at Lights Motors Action, and he did it with his brother and the brother's wife, and so they were saying that I think they did five people in a room and it was like right under $1,500, but it was higher priced right now because of the holidays.
Five people in a room is crazy.
But I mean, you're not in the room really except to sleep. So it really, in my experience, it really wouldn't matter. It's cramped though. There's no question that if there's five people in that room, it gets cramped. But the thing is, I think there's some people who are like, well, I just want to do it with like just my significant other or just my best friend, you know, because we want to engage in like our own type of a storyline or something. And so I think there is going to need to be something that starts bringing that down. I also think they're going to have to start rotating the story eventually. But the problem with that is that Galaxy's Edge is part of that story. So you have to figure out how to restructure that portion of it into the story.
Let me ask you, because I haven't been on it, but I do have a question. Would it be possible to have like a two-tier type of an experience there? If you just wanted to stay in the rooms, you don't want to participate in any of the activities, that would be like a lower cost. So you'd be like the background actors type of an experience. That wouldn't work.
How could they monitor that? Mary Jo, you're interacting a little too much.
Back. Right. Yeah. They shock your magic band. They send the zap to it. But
do not approach Chewbacca.
It's just too, it's too small for that. It's only like 100 people or 100 rooms or something. So it's like, I don't think there is no way to keep track of that sort of a thing. Like,
I don't think it's a sustainable experience. I personally, I would love it. And I know my kids would love it. Can't afford it right now, but
let me
we
ask,
would love it. But what about the people who...
You've been, Rhino, you have. We all have not.
I have not.
Okay, if it
I
was,
want to do it.
If it was $2,500 for two people, would you be more apt to do it? I definitely would do it. If it was $2,500 for two
people. For how many nights?
Well, two nights. The two-night experience with the meals for two people.
I'm planning on doing it again at some point in my life because I feel like I didn't get... I'm not being... There is an element that you don't actually get to experience when a camera is in your face the entire time.
And
I am not, like, I can't interact with the people the way I'm supposed to.
Of course.
Because I was filming everything. And so I was filming 24/7. So I want to go and actually have the experience now that I feel like I sort of missed out on. But what I got through that experience of filming it, I said to myself, this is 100% worth if I can get it to this price level. And you just named the price level, which is
really?
$1,200 a person. I would do five people in a room to be able to experience it if I can get it for somewhere between like $1,200 and like, I don't know. It'd have to be around like $1,250. It'd have to be under $1,300 because I'm not a big purchaser like that sort of a thing. But this is sort of one of those things where it's like that, you know, I take it as like a once in a lifetime. I want to do it and I want to like fully commit and I want to have that experience. But you can get it to that price with
No,
the people,
I need it with two people in the room at that price.
Yeah.
Two people at $2,500 each person?
No, $2,500 for two. Two people for two nights, one price, that's it.
If I had a super fan friend, I could do that at $1,250 like what Rhino said.
Okay.
I could do that.
I'd save, you know, you'd have to save for it and
I would save for it, but it's much more attainable.
Yeah.
And
I feel like it's a better experience, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. More intimate.
All right. I do hope these things are coming. What do you think?
I mean, yeah, I would if it was at that price point, like with my mom. I know she really wants to experience it. We both love Star Wars. Like, we're not the biggest fanatics, but we love it. Like, she grew up with movies, and then I started watching them, and I think it'd be a fun experience, but it would have to be at that price point, not what it currently is.
Question for Rhino.
Yeah.
Could they change, like, you've done it, could they change it enough for somebody that's done it a few times and change the experience where they could offer a new story for that visit?
I think they could. I think there's enough, I mean, I think where it succeeds, and all the places it succeeds the most are easily changeable to be a new type of a story. But that's the problem is that Galaxy's Edge is part of the story, and Galaxy's Edge is anchored into such a specific area of it. So that area, that part has to maybe be like reworked a little bit. But I think offering like specialty cruises every now and then, I think it's like seasonally. I think they need to do it like how they do the Star Wars Day at Sea. Like there's one that comes up, there's a couple sailings, like three, you know, I don't know how many, five, six or something like that. And then that's it. And then, you know, so those diehard people, that's how you get them back in. And I think ultimately everyone refers to it as a hotel and it's really an experience. It's not a hotel. So you're paying for like an actual experience, not necessarily what you mentally think of as a hotel. So I think that verbiage is very difficult to get over. But also, there is a part of me where I wish there was just a hotel that had been made aesthetic, with a dining that you could go to, with a bar that didn't have a story, that could have just all looked like a regular themed hotel.
Could it ever change to that? If it really failed as this interactive hotel, could it just change to a nice hotel where people stay?
I think the problem with that, it doesn't have a pool. Mm-hmm. So I think if they somehow added a pool, but I think like it doesn't have the other amenities that you would want from just staying at a hotel. So I it's just one of those things where like, I don't know.
You had something.
Yeah, I was going to say, not everybody likes the pool. So I think if that was just a hotel, even without the pool, and had a direct access to the parks, to Galaxy's Edge,
yeah,
I think that would be a cool draw eventually.
For me too.
Not now, but eventually.
Star Wars restaurants and access there, I wouldn't need the pool.
Yeah, but I think you guys are not really thinking in terms of like kids.
Kids,
it's like their number one thing to do at a hotel is go to the pool. Yeah. So I think that
but
I mean,
who's paying for the vacation right now?
I agree with you. I 100% because I'm also someone that doesn't want to go to the resort pool either. But I think that's why I'm like, I don't know. I am not sure. I don't have an answer. I think structurally the way it's set up, it would have to be completely changed. But the thing I loved about this is that I would still like to see this idea expand into other properties, i.e. Marvel. I think if they created Avengers campus where you went and learned how to become an Avenger, and I think that story would actually be more sustainable, because I think if they built a ride at the hotel and that ride was exclusive to that hotel that you could only do at the hotel, I think that's the way to go.
Haunted Mansion Hotel.
I think that needs to be like a dinner, like a whole mystery dinner.
Take the Star Wars concept, put in the stretching room characters in there, have a bride, you know, what is her name? Constance mm-hmm. Hatchaway.
Conchetta.
I made her very Italian. Hey, welcome to the make it, you know, a story where every window you look out, it's raining and thunder and lightning, and create some sort of a story when you check in that your car broke down. They couldn't keep me away. I would be getting a loan to go stay.
Could you imagine, like, you walk in and you're seeing the wedding happen? And like, she's like getting dressed for her wedding and whatever. And then that would be pretty cool.
There's a murder. You got to walk around at night and solve the murder. Ah,
that would be so cool to have like a whodunit.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that would be.
That would be cool because you could always change that story. And she has all these ex-husbands.
And whether that's a hotel or not, that Universal is about to open 2 escape rooms next week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was supposed to be. Whatever. They're on the horizon. But I think that Disney should consider getting to, and I'm not saying an escape room, but I do think something that's along the line of like a dinner murder mystery show that is the Haunted Mansion theme right there. That, get rid of Lightning McQueen's crap attraction that's over at Hollywood Studios, because they used to have that villains dinner there that was incredible.
Yes.
That could have totally been all redone to a Haunted Mansion theme thing.
I did that villains dinner 3 times and it was great.
Every time,
how come it went away? It was so popular.
I don't get it.
It was great. Just an update on this fly. It is getting fatter as I watch it. Mary Jo
ruining all our food.
Brought food, which we usually don't have here. This fly is living its best
life. Mary Jo's going to get it. Just watch out for this camera.
I don't know if you can get it.
No, I'm just going to cover the food.
But I've seen the fly get fatter as we're here. I mean, he is just having a grand old time.
He hasn't been on these, so I can cover these.
No, cover it all. Yeah, it's fine.
No, I'll cover the other ones.
It's like this big now.
Are you going to talk about other stuff now?
Yes, we are going to talk about other stuff. Let's go to the gingerbread house at the boardwalk.
Oh.
Erica has stuff there.
I don't need my article that I wrote. It was really cute, and I think if you like seeing the gingerbread houses at the different resorts and the different gingerbread displays, I think you should definitely make time to go see this one. It's modeled after the Boardwalk Deli, and there's 26 hidden Mickeys. I only found 13, but it was just really cute to look at it, and they have Mickey in like a little chef's outfit inside the deli, which is really cute.
That's pretty cute.
And if you look inside, you can see cute little hidden details that are inside the actual deli, and I just thought the detailing on there was phenomenal. And on the outside, they have a little plaque that tells you how much of each ingredient they had to use to build this thing. Like 31 gallons of whatever. Like,
guys,
it was
I'm just gonna politely say to the two people that are sitting on the edge of the table, can you talk directly into your microphones? Because you keep
talking past them.
Okay.
So it's hard to like keep this. Up with you. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt or anything, but yeah. Just
me too.
Right in the center. No, you're fine because you're looking straight ahead. Oh.
He meant the women.
These two are, yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'll leave it up to your female hysteria. Sorry. I stole that joke from What We Do in the Shadows. I'm so sorry. It was so, you know, I don't actually think like that.
But no, it is a really nice gingerbread display. I did, after going to that one, I did go to the Grand Floridian. And there was a huge line to buy anything from that gingerbread house. And I was like, never mind. I'm not buying anything. But it did look very pretty.
So that one's like the hopping one, the most popular
one? Oh, yeah. Because like they got so many goodies there. They weren't selling any goodies at the one at the boardwalk yet. I saw the cash register for it. But when I went to Grand Floridian, my goodness, that line was all the way through the lobby. And I was like, this is packed.
I saw the lobby one for the Grand Floridian, and it wrapped around twice. And I just thought, who's getting on the end of that 40-minute line to buy gingerbread? And they were.
What day did you guys go to see that?
Saturday.
I went Sunday.
Okay. Because I was planning on going, because that's what... I'm not going to the parks this trip out because I didn't come for the parks, but the deluxe hotels and the gingerbread house of the Grand Floridian, when I do come out at this time of year, that's like a must do for me.
You can go see it and enjoy it, yeah, but if you
from a distance,
don't buy anything from it unless you want to wait.
Sorry, Nancy.
Sure. Do you know? You don't have to.
She want you to bring her gingerbread.
She wanted me to buy her something from the gingerbread house.
Okay, because I was literally about to bring up. I'd like to talk about what is the deal with Disney gingerbread? It doesn't taste like ginger or bread. No, I think it's awful. I have never had a piece of gingerbread at Disney that actually tastes like gingerbread. It always has this weird taste to it that I'm like, this isn't gingerbread.
It's not that sweet. I kind of like it. It's like, for me, I thought it was like a real adult gingerbread. I like the flavor. It's very gingery. It's very spicy, and it's not sweet. It's not like a gingerbread cookie. Mm. But I was just asking Erica if they had vegan gingerbread, because I know she's
what
vegan.
Makes an adult gingerbread? Is it 21?
No, that it's not so sweet.
It's the ginger, the ginger bits.
The fly is getting vengeance on us now. He's mad.
No, I saw in an article on our site that they are offering, I think Jackie wrote it, they are offering plant-based ones at certain areas. I haven't done enough research to tell you where, but I'm going to find out.
I had a plant-based gingerbread cookie at Epcot. I think the gingerbread man there is a thing, but again, doesn't taste like gingerbread. I think that one was, I could be speaking
Could
exactly.
it be that what we're eating is really gingerbread and what we think was gingerbread is like an Americanized cookie?
No, because there's one thing I make is this pumpkin gingerbread trifle, and it involves having to make a gingerbread cake to like break up into it. And the flavor when you make gingerbread from scratch, that's the thing where you're like, this is gingerbread.
When do you make this?
It's usually like for a holiday, but I'm...
We're in the holidays now.
We are in the holidays now.
And I would like to try this.
Panda, I have made it before. I brought it here once, and I think it was Craig Williams himself who said, don't bring your filth here. But no, but he did eat it. No, I love Craig, but it's actually, I think he ate most of it, to be honest.
I would like
to
try this, very much so.
We'll see.
He was probably asking you to save him from himself.
I'll make it maybe for the last show. We'll see what kind of... spirit I'm in.
Okay. Do we know if the last show is? It's not next week, but the week after.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
Because I don't want to misquote information, and that seems to be my specialty. So,
okay.
I'd rather just not.
There's probably only two episodes left to this season.
Girl, I don't even know.
Waffle bowls. Tell me about waffle bowls.
No. waffle bowls. They're literally what they sound like. They are these tiny bowls that are made out of a waffle. Think, literally the thing you would get your ice cream in. They're savory ones. They're coming to Hollywood Studios. They started today. They're at Fairfax Fair, which is just across from the Fantasmic Theater, right up by Tower of Terror on Sunset Boulevard over there. I'm so sad that they weren't there yesterday because I was at Hollywood Studios yesterday, and this is right up my alley.
Savory, tell me.
Yes, savory. There are four different kinds. One of them is plant-based, which is nice. That is the soba noodles. The soba noodles one, hold on, I wrote myself a little note in here and everything. The plant-based soba noodle salad bowl. Then there's another one that's a buffalo chicken bowl. Mm. And then the one that I am most interested in is the Korean barbecue pork bowl. Mm. And then there's a barbecue beef brisket bowl. I love, Mary Jo can attest to this because I believe she's been with me. I love anything where you can consume the entirety. Once you're eating the vessel, you can consume as well. I'd eat plates if I could. But I love a cozy cone in California Adventure because you just eat the whole thing. It all just goes right up to mama. So I am very excited to try these because we had Cozy Cones here for literally like 3 days once. They were served in the Fantasmic area and immediately went away and never came back. And I spoke about it on a show once, and I still get emails from a company overseas trying to sell me the like who they think is like the manufacturing manager or something like that on the Dism. They're trying to sell me the bread, and I'm like, I'm not. This is a podcast. I'm not buying bread.
We might be interested.
I mean, I am.
So does that mean I love you bread? Like, you like bread bowls? Do you like?
Soup oh, girl, and bread bowls? I love a bread bowl. Oh yeah, again, Pacific Wharf, California Adventure. That's the thing. That's why I always be like, Disneyland succeeds even in the simplest things.
They have something new. I don't remember what it is, but at the Pacific Wharf, they have something new in a bread bowl.
Don't you tease me.
I'm going to get on a plane right now. This weekend, I'm going to Disneyland with Michael, so I will have something there, and I'll take a picture, and I'll just show you how good it is.
I can't wait. I hope it's a picture of me. No, sorry. I don't know. That was weird. I'm not there, so that's fine. I'll be there in spirit. You. Yeah.
So I will say, I was in the park 3 times this week. And I don't know if it's because I believe what I'm about to say or because it really happened. Actually, I know it really happened. I think the cast is getting a morale boost, real or not, meaning their perception is that things are going to get better because of Iger. I noticed the cast being happier, more. Listen, I was in the Christmas shop, and I didn't want to buy. I wanted to buy something expensive. It was like $100. It was a couple of dancing. What is it? The soldiers. You wind it up and they, the toy soldiers. And I said, I didn't want one because if it looks like the kids could be touching it and breaking their arms off and everything. So could you get me one from like the back? Cause I assume there's a back. Sure enough, there is. She, oh, no problem. They walked. They got me one. I said, nope, this one, his cheek is smudged. And she was like, oh, we got a Karen. And she went back and got me another. She would have went back 30 times, but they were happy to do it. And I saw it everywhere I went. Casey's Corner. Everybody was happy. I think there's a difference in the cast member feeling. Do you agree with me or am I crazy?
I didn't interact with too many yesterday, but I can say I am seeing more people smiling. I'm definitely saying that. I didn't interact too much yesterday, but that's what I saw. Okay. They're just looking a little happier.
Do you feel anything different or do you know? Can you attest to it at all?
I mean, I don't know. It wasn't like the Emperor was here, and then all of a sudden now the Ewoks are happy or something.
It's that just is
like,
what I felt. I absolutely felt chub, chub, jeebop, bajob, chub.
It's yub, nub, jeebop, bajob,
chub, chub. That's how I sing it.
But yeah, I mean, I did have a, on Monday I was at Hollywood Studios, and there was a cast member at the Brown Derby Lounge who was very nice, who I've had before, actually. His name is Bobby, and he's very good. Like, because I was with a friend, and we had a drink, and she said, sip this, and it was a Manhattan, and it tasted mostly of vermouth, and it should taste more like bourbon than vermouth, but, and so she was, I was like, well, just, I was just talk to him. I feel like we're confident enough, we have this relationship, and he was very nice about every single drink. It was like, taste it first, taste it, and if not, I'm going to make it myself. I'm going to go do it myself, because this is how I like to make it in my house, blah, 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 and I was like, he was very, 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 very accommodating, and I do feel like I did witness, like, a really, no, I lied. Never mind. It was the other way around. I had a cast member who didn't really know what was going on at Candlelight and kind of kept giving us misinformation that in the end sort of screwed me in terms of like, I was in this position first and they were like, you can't stand here. So I stood right next to it and then they let everybody stand right there. So I missed my perfect window for shots of my boyfriend, Simu Liu. So I guess we're just breaking up and I'll marry Winston Duke instead.
Have you been in the park since?
No, not since the announcement, but in my own personal experience, cast members are always wonderful. I really don't have bad experiences with cast members.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying I've had bad experiences.
Well, I'm sorry.
I've seen them sad. I felt bad sometimes for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not seeing that now.
I'm clueless, though, typically. So I don't notice much. But I'll pay attention when we go.
Yeah.
It's not like I've had a cast member like curse me out. But you know what I've kind of noticed recently a lot of, and every time I see like a video, you know, it was when I went to record Fantasmic and stuff like that, and the projection show is going on at Hollywood Studios on the Tower of Terror, I feel bad for these cast members because all they're doing is yelling the whole time. So like you go to watch these shows or meet these characters and you're trying to take like your quick video or picture or whatever with them. And, you know, and it's like I saw it in a video of a California of when Mandalorian came out with Grogu, and it was just, all you can hear is the scream, cast members screaming, step back, step back, step back, move along, keep moving. And I have had that experience before. I have had it at Disneyland too. Craig and I talked about the one who was really mean about Moon Knight. I was like, I accepted that we weren't going to be able to see him, but I was trying to talk to a friend that was like, and we moved all the way across the street, separate area. And it was like an hour before the park closed, and they were yelling at us for like loitering in front of the Spider-Man wall. And I was just like, is this area not open to guests right now? Can I not be here? And they're like, you have to keep moving. And I was like, there's five people, literally five people standing right here. And I was like, okay, I'm just very confused right now. Can I not get into Avengers Campus? And they were just not, they were, I think, again, it was a critical thinking problem. Yeah, where it was very, you get into a mode. Because I've worked in a theater where I've had to load people, and it is a nightmare. You'll explain something over and over and over again, and people will just ignore you. So I understand that plight of having to just repeat that information and be the person that's yelling, and it doesn't feel good. But it feels like it was happening everywhere lately, where it's just like, it doesn't really matter about the show or the experience. We've got to just keep moving down. I feel like if I were to suggest to Bob Iger something, it would be something in terms of making cast members' life easier like that, where not everybody's having to raise their voice or yell, and that can impact those sort of experiences a lot more, where you would be able to just watch the Christmas show that you came to watch without somebody literally standing next to you and just screaming. When you are yourself standing in the correct area, and they're just trying to direct people over here, and it's just kind of, and I feel bad for them. It's like,
you remember they did that to us at Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party with the fireworks? Like, they were leaving.
That's literally what I brought up to my friend when at Candlelight, where I said, you know, this happened to me at Mickey's thing too. They said this line in the pavement, and then another person came over and moved it over to the line, the trolley track. And I was like, it's too late. Like, you're like, it's hundreds of people now at this point. Like, I don't know.
It was weird that they were like saying half the street, you just can't watch fireworks.
It's hard because it's also, I think that really doesn't fall on those customers. It falls on the ones who are responsible for communicating.
Telling them that, yeah.
And so I do feel awful for those real frontline customers who are the ones who have to do it when they're not being correctly communicated to by their upper level. But yeah. But I saw a whole thing online where people are just like, cast members have been very vocal about feeling a lot better, feeling more appreciated, because Iger already did that town hall with everybody. I don't think we talked about that, but
we did quickly.
We did last that week, was right? Was that last week?
We did.
At the beginning of this show.
No, we talked about the thing where the investors didn't want to be in the park.
Yeah, mentioned that the town hall was a non-issue where he had to ask Josh about...
Yes, the park reservation. Sorry. Yeah.
He really wasn't... Was there anything else to that we're forgetting?
He confirmed that the whole Apple thing is just speculation.
Yeah.
Disney and Apple are not... They're not coming together. It's fine.
Apple's not buying Disney.
That rumor pops up every like 5 years or whatever. Yeah. I don't think they care.
I think they look for the only company that could afford to buy Disney, and they speculate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like, they've got cash.
Yeah. Speaking of Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, we never talked about it, all of us.
Wait, but Mary Jo...
Mary Jo with the tours. Disneyland tours.
The Disneyland tours?
Isn't that what was her...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going to go there then?
Let's go there then.
Okay. Well, just because the other topic you're about to start feels like a conversation thing, and I didn't want to cut you off for your thing.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm not the host. I don't know why I just did that.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I enjoy the back and forth. Thank you.
I'm sweating
so
now.
So do I. No, I was just going to say that Disneyland has, you know, they had stopped the tours during COVID. They brought back two of them. And when the very famous Walk and Waltz Footsteps Tours has been replaced by the Waltz Main Street Story Tour that is supposed to be 90 minutes. I did go on that tour. I don't like to rain on anybody's parade. So I will say that if it's worth it to you to pay $160 to see Walt's apartment, then go on that tour. And anything else you may get will be gravy on top of that.
Okay. That makes sense. You weren't thrilled with it. There wasn't much apart from the apartment.
Well, she said it was like a 90-minute tour, and then you said you timed it, right?
Yeah, I timed it. The tour itself was 25 minutes. So it's 90 minutes altogether. So the tour itself on Main Street for our tour was 25 minutes. We spent a really good amount of time in Walt's apartment, and our tour guide opened up everything, showed us, even pointed out the little artifacts in his apartment and shared stories about them and stuff, and talked about the pole that he used to slide down where it was. I thought that part was great. And then we went on his patio, which was not part of the Walk and Waltz Footsteps tour before. That was also really good. And another nice thing is that they've added a lift, so it's accessible to everybody.
Oh.
So that's also really nice that they added that. From start of the tour to when I was back out on Main Street was 60 minutes. And it's a 90-minute tour.
Did you talk to somebody about that? I'm just curious.
It's the first time that I've ever gone to City Hall to complain.
I was because I definitely would have.
$160 for 90 minutes seems...
Well, quick. But it was 60 minutes.
Yeah, oh. Walt didn't walk a lot, apparently.
Well, the focus is how his childhood inspired what they've put on Main Street. What would have been nicer is they either need to restructure it a little bit about some of the other things that they put on Main Street and things like he would standing on his patio that he would watch people and see how long it took for them to throw trash. And so that also inspired how many steps from one trash can to another.
Okay.
And other things throughout Main Street. It would have been nice if they had included that, and they didn't. So I wasn't expecting to learn much on the tour. I did learn something new, which I forget, like I said, I'm not really observant. So going on a tour is like the first time for me, but I was really disappointed for guests who would really have wanted to learn more about the Main Street or about Disneyland itself. But the apartment itself was wonderful. And if that's your goal, then yes, but $160 for a 60-minute tour. And it costs more now. And before we used to walk all of Disneyland and to see Walt's personal touches in Disneyland. So it's, like I said, it's the first time I ever complained at City
Good
Hall.
For you.
Yeah, but 100%. I mean, I agree with you in terms of if they're saying like, well, this amount of time costs this amount of money. I think like 30 minutes short is, 5 minutes short is one thing. 30 minutes is like,
right.
You owe me some money.
Yeah, and the tour guide, you know, when we were sitting there and maybe she was expecting us there to be a lot of questions. We all got a cookie. And before we had a meal and a drink, now we get a cookie, which was a nice cookie. Before we got a beautiful pin, now we got the cardstock laminated. You know, lanyard. So there's all these touches that they don't have anymore that I think would have improved the experience itself. But the lacking through. Oh, she told us, she said, well, we need to get going because there's another tour. And inside I was like, no, because
yeah.
We still have 30 minutes on the clock and there's no way another tour would come up here at that
What's
time.
The other tour that they added?
Oh, the other tour, thank you for asking, is it's the holiday time at Disneyland. And I'm actually going to be doing that this Friday with Michael Bowling,
oh, cool.
Who's on the Connecting with Walt. So I'm really looking forward to it. And but the attractions at Disneyland that they do the makeover, the holiday makeovers are wonderful. It's a small world.
Yeah.
And now they have, they've added some diversity dolls, which I think is really cool at It's a Small World. So I'm looking forward to that. They're not including the Haunted Mansion holiday, which I don't understand why they're not.
What? That's weird.
Yeah. And that's part of the Genie Plus experience. So the fact that we're not getting that in the tour is kind of weird.
And how long is that tour supposed to be?
I think it's supposed to be 2 hours.
Same price or?
I don't remember how much. Okay. It's been a while since
both parks? Like, do you go to
We
see
do
Cars
go
Land?
To both parks. Okay. And you don't have to have a park hopper to go to both parks. So that's really cool that they're doing that. So
yeah.
Buena Vista Street is decorated really nicely. Of course, you stay with your tour. And they do have the earpieces so that the earpieces, they're great because you don't have to be right with the tour guide.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so that's nice. And then we have reserved location for the parade. And that's, I believe, in Town Square, where before it used to be across from It's a Small World. They have like this little area to the side and we had seats. Now I understand, you stand. But it is reserved, so we'll be enjoying that.
What time of day is that tour?
The tour is, well, the tour we're taking is 120. So I think they offer a couple.
Because isn't there, so I know like the interior of Small World gets the holiday makeover, but doesn't the exterior something happen at night for that too?
Oh yeah. They have a whole little show with the lights and everything. That's apart from, various times during the night, they'll do that.
That's
and
cool.
Again, it's a Small World facade. Decorated for the holidays
so
is
pretty.
Absolutely beautiful and magical.
Why don't we at least get that here? I know and it's indoors. The facade is technically.
You guys have so much. It's nice that we have that.
Don't shut up, Mary. No,
Nightmare Before Christmas and the It's a Small World. You got to come out to California.
We
That's
used to
what
have the
is.
The Bear Jamboree Christmas. I miss that.
I miss that
Yeah,
one.
I wish that was something.
That was a good one.
That was so cute.
We had all of them. We had, there was three. There was the original Country Bear Jamboree, the Vacation.
Yeah, there was a Vacation one, right?
Yeah, the Vacation. And then the Holiday one. And I don't understand why you guys don't have that.
They really should start doing that again.
I think it would bring in new life into that attraction. I think pulling people in there, but
Jingle Cruise is better this year.
So we have Jingle Cruise and
is it Space Monsters Mountain or no?
Space Mountain, but I don't know if that's party exclusive. Mm-hmm. Is it? And then Tomorrowland Speedway, they did that and
Monsters,
but that's it, right? No other park except for now. Haunted, except for now, Guardians of the Galaxy, the
Cosmic Rewind.
Yeah, which also was a disappointment. But I did a like Patreon video for it where I go into a little more depth. But my main problem is that there's no indication anywhere through the whole attraction that you're going to get a holiday song. And then you just get a holiday song and that's it. And it's like no reference to it at all. So it's just like the Guardians aren't like in special outfits at the end or anything. It just
That's a little disappointing because that would have been, I mean, that's a lost opportunity.
Especially since they literally filmed a Christmas special at the same time that they were filming the B-roll for this attraction. So it's weird because in California, when they, I don't want to go into it, but when in California, they have a Monsters After Dark, which is a Halloween overlay for their ride that happens after dark, you know, after like 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. or something. And that's not party exclusive either, but it's a sequel attraction. And that whole thing gets a new lighting package. There's new video.
Yeah.
Rocket has new words he says in the intro. It's a whole thing. And a whole video, new video. And even, I was like, why didn't they do the same thing?
Even if they decorated at the end where you come out to that white area with the
it
film,
like a little tree.
And they could all be together saying, you know, happy holidays, happy
New Year. That's what I'm saying. I thought, you know, or wearing their outfits from the special because they had to put
and
those
Kevin
on.
Bacon could have been there waving or something.
Oh, that would have been cool. Anyway.
They did take away our jingle cruise, though. I don't understand why they don't have that at Disneyland.
Really?
Correct.
Did you used to?
Yeah.
That's weird.
We had it maybe 2 years and it was really cool, but we don't have it anymore.
Bizarre.
So we have to come here to Florida to see it.
We have a couple of minutes. Should we talk about our Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party experience real quick?
I mean, I don't know. It's 57 right now.
Yeah, the bottom line for me was I felt it was worth it, which is weird because I did pay once on my own. We went once for the company, then I went once on my dime. I felt it was worth it. I felt it was very Christmassy. I just felt no matter where I looked in the Magic Kingdom, there were shows going on, there were decorations, there were treats. It just felt good to me and I didn't feel rooked, which surprised me. Ryan, what'd you think?
My party experience was not super positive, to be honest, but we went day one and it rained the entire time and I don't blame Disney for that. However, I do find it frustrating sometimes with like when things like that happen that you have to take the extra mile to get like the thing you deserve back because it's not a cheap party this year at all. And they literally didn't have a single castle show. They only had one parade, so I didn't get to watch the parade. I didn't get to see my reindeer. And so like there's that. And I mean, all the parties have been sold out. So if our party was a sold out party, I will say this, the crowd seemed better. At least, but it was also like I would ask every cast member, "Do you know where the eggnog is? Do you know where the eggnog
is?" Yeah, nobody knew.
Nobody knew where anything was. So, I chalked that up to that one too. So it's.
I think if it wasn't raining, you would have had a better experience because the rain really did damage that night. Mm-hmm. Is that the only night you went?
That's the only night I went. And
girl, she don't make extra park money. She don't make party money. We don't make that party money. You think we're going like five times
party
a year?
Money? Well, I make that party money.
I feel so bad because my mom really wants to go and she thought that there were still nights available. And I'm like, sorry. There's not. But it was a lot of rain. But I kind of expected that first night of a party, whatever, it's going to be raining.
Not in November.
But it was raining so much. We were sitting huddled under a little Casey's umbrella, like, please let this rain stop. But I love the Christmas party. It's one of my favorites because I just love Christmas. And I didn't get to see the parade. I saw the last little bit as I was making my way to meet up with you guys for the fireworks. So I got to see Santa and I care about that a lot. But I got to meet Snow White and her prince, and that was fun. They came out briefly because they were coming in and out depending on rain. So that was nice. And we got the apple cider, which I really liked the apple cider, which was like apple juice, but it tasted like, I don't know, better than normal apple juice. And then they had, of course, allergy-friendly cookies and stuff. So I had a good time. I just kind of wish it wasn't raining, but I can't control the weather.
Too bad they don't give you a little discount when it rains that much that you can't enjoy
it. I think that's 100% my problem is that, because I even said to Craig at the end of the night, I was like, I wasn't going to, because obviously we're doing this for work and, you know, and stuff. But I was like, but the fact that I didn't see any of this, I am drenched. I was drenched through all my clothes by the end of the night, which is, it's uncommon. I think in November it's like, but then we did end up getting an extra, a tropical storm again after that. But it was just one of those things where like, it was very clear the party did not go off at the way it should have or was advertised to. And therefore, I think it should have just been an automatic kicked over into everybody's thing, because we do now know that that is capable of happening, because I had a ticket that kicked back to me after the Halloween party got, and it was still a party that went on, I think.
Yes.
And, but it was because of the hurricane. So they just automatically went through. And I think that needs to be, I wish there was that sort of like a recovery, because I was going to go up and just be like, hey, is there anything? Because I didn't want money. I don't want the money back. I just wanted to go a different night so that I could have that experience. But the line for a town hall to talk to, because it's like four cast members that I'm sure are just getting yelled at, which I feel awful about. But like, it was so long that I was like, I'd be here till 2:30 in the morning. And so it's like, I feel like they put that barrier there in place. And I get it. I get it. It's Florida. It's hard, because if you start doing that, then what is it? What does it mean for the Halloween parties where it's raining all the time, essentially, during that time of year? But it just was one of those where I was like, eh. Bummer. But you know, you have to do it in the moment. You can't do it after the fact. So that's the hard, that's the, it's kind of the thing. But I've heard, you know, on a, I would have loved to have gone on one of those cold nights where it would have felt nice. But
I wonder if we go to guest relations on a day like that, there's a party that there could be an opening if somebody still needs to try to get in. It's possible that day of you might get a ticket. I don't know.
I mean, I think if you're staying at a resort that involves concierge, I think there's always, it's always worth trying that.
I think that's the ticket. Yeah. If you're staying at a Disney resort, they might try to accommodate you, whereas the regular guest wouldn't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was scared we weren't going to have enough to talk about, and we could go on and on, but we have a Patreon after show to get to. You can still get there if you are not a Patreon member. Patreon.com/DizUnplugged. Come and join us where we say things we are not supposed to say. Mary Jo, thank you so much, dear. Erica, Rhino, thank you. Mm-hmm. When kindness is an option, please choose it. And for Pete's sake, stay out of the damn lakes.